ELC Radio.
God is going to cause you to change, and he's going to cause you to take your promised land, but you got to quit looking for a get-rich-quick scheme. Come on, somebody. God is thinking peace of you and not evil. That when he thinks about your life, he's not mad at you. The strongest people are people that understand togetherness. All throughout your life, you're on this journey to go from me to we.
Love God. Lift others.
Life Church.
Now, sit back, relax, and enjoy another elevated message. Here's Senior Pastor Sergio Limon.
Wanted to start with Matthew chapter 10 today as we're talking about kings and queens and identifying with our identity and who we are in Jesus. I want you to really grasp how important it is that you understand your new identity in Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that we're new creatures in Christ. We're new creations in Jesus Christ. That means whoever you were before you gave your life to Jesus, you are now something much, much more when you give your life to Jesus Christ and you ask him to come into your life. Can I get a good strong amen on that? Amen. And we've got to wrap our minds around this understanding of the fact that you and I are royalty. We're a part of a royal family, much like the one that we just saw recently with the royal wedding. And was it Prince Harry and Princess Meghan and Meghan Markle? Amen. All right. Thanks, Jessica. Okay. She's really into it, I guess. I don't know. But it's a beautiful story because Meghan Markle was just a regular girl, and now she's not a regular girl no more. She's royalty. She is what what you grew up watching Disney and wishing you were a princess. Come on, somebody. And wishing you were Princess Ariel or what's some other princesses? Somebody. Jasmine and Belle. Was Belle a princess? I thought she was just married the ugly beast. I don't know what happened there. She became a princess. Okay. This woman is actually living the dream. And I look at all the ladies. Oh, that would be so nice to be a princess. Well, check this out. You are. The Bible is very clear that when Jesus Christ came, he came to bring back the sons and daughters of God into the family of God. And our identity with Jesus Christ, and you need to read Ephesians 1. Our identity in Christ is that we've been accepted by God into the royal family. And that we are a part, we've been adopted with rights. The Bible says you and I are heirs to salvation and heirs to the riches of Jesus Christ. So there's not a person in here that has made a decision to follow Jesus that is not a king or a queen. The problem is y'all don't really believe it. That's the problem. The problem lies inside of this cranium here that sits on top of your shoulders, convincing you on these Sundays as we spend time to look at this revelation. Because the Bible is clear in the book of Proverbs, as a man thinketh, so is he. As you think about yourself, that's what you are. That's why we've got to wrap our brains around our identity in Christ. That's why we got to get in our word every day and eat at the king's table. We got to understand the things that Jesus wants us to know about ourselves and start acclimating those truths into our lives so that we can begin to think right about ourselves, about our marriage, about our families, so that then we can have good things come into our lives. Can I get an amen on that? You are more than just a sinner saved by grace. You are more than just an ex-drug addict, an ex-alcoholic, an ex-fornicator, whatever that is. You're more than that. The Bible says you are now a son and daughter of the Most High God. And we've got to start grasping that as we wake up in the morning. This is important. And Jesus, when he sent out his disciples to go into the world, he told them, you got to proclaim this message. The message was not a message of religion. It was not a message of just slight change. It's a message of this. The kingdom of heaven has come near to you. The kingdom of heaven is here. What was it? It was Jesus proclaiming to us, number one, our identity, and number two, the surrounding or the way our life was going to begin to take shape. Now, you've got to understand why this message was so radical when Jesus preached it. It was so radical because the Israelites at the time did not relate to God as their dad. They related to God as the Elohim, the creator of the universe. He was far away. He was far away. He was a God of judgment. He was a God, if you didn't do everything right, he just might smite you. He was the God of the plagues. He was the God that said that if you want to come in and get your sins forgiven, it's going to take blood. See, they had this whole other concept of who God was. But when Jesus came, he came to reveal God as our Father. And when they asked him how to pray, he always talked about God as his Father. I don't do anything that I don't see my Father do. But when they asked him how to pray, and we all learned this in the Catholic Church when we were going there, how did he say we were to pray? We were to pray our Father. And it was the first time that this revelation of not only is he Jesus's Father, but he's your Father and my Father, and we're a part of this royal family. This was the first time that really hit the earth. I want you to grasp this today, because some of us have been praying that prayer all our life, but we still don't understand how powerful it is to understand that Jesus is instructing you to pray our Father, our Daddy, as it says, Abba Father, which means Daddy, to grasp that concept, because if you don't grasp that concept, the fact that you too are a king begins to fall through the cracks. And then we have people living lives like the world rather than living like they're supposed to live in this royal family. Are you guys tracking with me today? So Jesus prayed, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Okay? So God is restoring our mentalities to this. This is what the gospel is all about. And so Jesus comes and makes a statement in John 10:10, where he says that I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. And what he's talking to them about is the royal life, the life of a king, the life of a queen. And we've got to understand this is the life that Jesus has come to give us, a life of abundance, a life that if we understand how a kingdom works and how it is to be a king or live under a king, we can change the very course of life that we have right now and see God transform that. And I want to see that for you. Because let me tell you something. I'm not a perfect human being. I've done a lot of things wrong. But man, I am not the guy I was when I got saved. The Bible has totally transformed and changed my life from where I was when I was 19 years old. The Bible has taken me around this planet. I've seen things, I've experienced things, I've been blessed beyond anything that I've ever deserved. And the reason is because when I was 19 years old, I stopped treating church like it was a place I visited. I stopped looking at God as if he was just this fire insurance for me so I don't go to hell one day. And I began to lean in to the king's table. I began to lean into the word of God, and everything has changed in my life. Everything. The things I have, I could not have gotten without God and without his word coming into my being. I look at my wife. My wife is one of my favorite heroes in life because of the things she has had to go through. And many of you know her testimony. The things and the family that she comes from, we should not be doing the things that we're doing right now. But the word of God. But God's word coming in and helping us and grasp and us putting his word in our heart has given us a whole nother world that we would have never, ever tasted had his word never came into our hearts. Now, I'm passionate about this because, like I said, I have a life. I got children that I don't deserve. I've got family that I don't deserve. I have experiences that I could have never gotten to had I not grasped who Jesus made me to be. And I want you to grasp this today, because I don't know where you're at in your life. You may be somebody who's very broken right now. You may be a divorcee. You may be gone through a broken relationship. You may be an abuse victim, a rape victim, whatever it might be. You may just be sad. Listen, I'm tired of turning on the TV and seeing another person in America is committing suicide. So sad to hear about Anthony Bourdain. Those of you know him from the TV show Parts Unknown. Thank you. Parts Unknown. It's a cooking show. And I've always enjoyed his insight on food and things. And to hear that he, in the middle of filming a TV show, went back to his room, committed suicide, and didn't come down the next day. In the midst of doing something that people all over the country would love to be doing, being on television, eating good food. How many like that job? This guy has a dream job, on television, famous, making lots of money, but yet something on his inside moved him to commit suicide. Then there was another woman. Most of you may know of Kate Spade. Anybody know Kate Spade? Such a sad thing. This woman has also a dream job, designing handbags. But that's not the dream part of it. The dream part of it is people pay hundreds of dollars for those handbags, including myself. I have purchased many. There it is right there. Thank you very much. I love my wife. Thank you very much. All right. This woman who has this amazing opportunity, who literally her handbags are a part of culture. Pop culture and the money that she's making hand over fist and the life that affluence allows her to experience, yet she's fighting that secret battle that so many people are. And in a moment's notice, she takes her own life. People, it's not about what you have, where you go, what you do. It's about what's going on in here. And there's been a lot of discussion on the news networks, and it hurts my heart to know, and this is what people are beginning to look at, that you never know what somebody's going through around you. It could be, you know, your coworker, could be your spouse, could be your kids. You don't know how demonic thoughts can creep into your mind and cause you to say, you know what, I'd rather just not be here right now. We buried somebody dear to our hearts here as a family not too long ago that had those thoughts running through his mind and acted on them. People, we've got to take God serious. We've got to approach the Bible in a whole nother light. The Bible is not an old book that is where you do your religious penance so you can get, you know, so you can feel better about your life. The Bible is literally the words of God. God's word, that if you grasp it, that if you crack it open every day, that if you put a little bit of it inside of your brain every day, it can transform who you are. The Bible says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We've got to start looking at God's word in a whole different light. The Bible has the ability that, and it gives you the ability as a son and a daughter of God, a king and a queen, to make the kind of life that you want to make, to have the kind of marriage that you want to have, to raise the kind of kids that you want to raise, to have the career, the ability to have, in John 10:10, a better life than you could ever dream. But yo, we got to take it serious. We got to start getting to the basis of what this thing is about. We got so many young people, man, you're missing it, man. You're missing it. You're missing it. You're so excited about fitting in with people that we're allowing the cares of the world to choke out the word of God that's in us. You know, and young people many times will spend their days wanting to fit in with people rather than take to heart the words of life that can change your destiny. I'll never forget 19 years old sitting in the car. It was my dad's Volvo. I used to have to go over to Southgate Library, which it's still there today, right across from Jose Rizal. And I used to go into that parking lot, and I would take my Bible, and I would read my word there, and I would pray in the spirit, because I prayed too loud at home. My dad always would hit me with this, "Mijo, God's not deaf." He would say, "God's not deaf," because I'd pray loud. And I was like, "Ah, Dad, but I'm really into my prayers." He said, "That's cool. I'm trying to be into this game, so you need to go somewhere else." And so without fighting or anything, I'd get in my car, 19-year-old kid, get in my car, take my Bible, I'd take my highlighter, and I would just go put some worship on and sit in that parking lot in my car, and I would spend time with Jesus. And when I was 19 years old, as I sat in that car, I'll never forget, I read Matthew chapter 28, and it said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Make disciples of all nations. 19 years old, man, that thing came alive. That word jumped off of that page and shoo, became a part of my life. And from that moment on, everything changed. Everything changed. From one word from the King, one word from the King's mouth into my spirit caused my destiny to change. Y'all remember, I've shared my testimony with you so many times. I'm not supposed to be on this path. I should be living under judgment for the things that were going on in my life at the time. I was so broken and so hurt, but one word from God caused my destiny to alter. So much so that 2 years later, I'll never forget, I was away from that word. I went off to Bible school in San Jose, California, and 21 years old. How many remember your 21st birthday? How many want to forget your 21st birthday? Amen. Praise God. You know, in American culture, turning 21 is a big deal. And there's all that hype around it. You could finally drink. It's legal. You know, and everybody's friends would get to get together and they'd take them out and give them their first drink. Like, wow, like that's a big deal, right? That's how the world thinks, though. I'll never forget where I spent my 21st birthday. I spent my 21st birthday eating my free meal over at Denny's. Come on, somebody. Alone. Everybody say, aw, pobrecito. Pastor was lonely. But I'll never forget why that's a pivotal part of my life. Because when God's word came along, came into my life, it put me on a path to where I was going to do whatever it took to fulfill his call on my life. Whatever it took. And so here I was 21, and everybody that was my age or turning 21, they always had these great parties and these great celebrations and these big things. But it was at night. I'll never forget. It kind of dawned on me. And it was for a minute, it was sad as I was cutting into my steak. Because if it's a free meal, you better go with the steak. And I was cutting into that steak. And as I was eating it, I looked around the restaurant. And here I was sitting by myself at 21 years old. I had always been a social guy. Always had friends, always hanging out, things like that. Here I was by myself, and I began to eat my steak, and rather than cry, this big old smile came on my face. And it was like, this word is working in my life. And if this is the price for me to fulfill my destiny, then I'll be alone all day while my friends are out there getting drunk in the club, dancing and rubbing up on people and stuff like that. I'll be alone, steak, Denny's eating, non-friend having, come on somebody, to fulfill my destiny and stay strong and stay holy. But see, that's the thing the word of God will do for you. Now, I share that because there's some of us in here, we're just trying to quit drinking. We're just trying to stop going places and doing things. Listen, the whole key to turning this thing around is the way that you approach God and his word. You are not victims. You are not powerless. You are kings and you are queens. And the life that you want to have, God is giving you opportunity to build it. The marriage you want to have, God gives you opportunity to build it. Okay, the kind of families and careers and your financial well-being, all that is in your hands if you grasp a few things. Number one, Jesus is called the King of Kings. He's the King. And we're the kings in that phrase, King of Kings. You are royalty. God is your creator. And you live in a kingdom. And in this kingdom, what Jesus prayed and what Jesus, when they asked Jesus, teach us how to pray. And he said, you know, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What was Jesus trying to tell the disciples to go forth and preach? That the kingdom of heaven is near. Now, people, when we think about that, we think of heaven and this gold kingdom somewhere. But basically what that phrase means is this. Whenever you see the kingdom of God in the scriptures, and I've taught you this all so many times, but whenever you see the kingdom of God in the scripture, it basically means this: God's way of doing things. God's way of doing things. Seek first the kingdom of God, Matthew 6:33, and all these things will be added unto you. Read that different. Seek first God's way of doing things. The kingdom of God is interchangeable with understanding God's way of doing things. Another way you could say it is this: how heaven works. How heaven works. And so what he's saying here, go and proclaim this message. God's way of doing things has come near to you. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you receive, freely give. What is the message of the kingdom? It's a message of empowerment. You're not slaves no more. Amen? Amen. You're not second-class citizens no more. You're not X this, X that. You are kings and queens in the kingdom of God. And the more you understand the kingdom, which is God's way of doing things, the better life is going to be. But we have a problem right now. We have people arguing. We have people refusing to submit to the king's way or the king's way of doing things. Are you guys tracking with me today? Because we're used to how the earth works, how my job works, how America works. Are you guys with me? And the problem with that is this: we are called to bring heaven to earth, heaven into our lives, God's blessing into our lives. But we're trying to operate heaven with the world's rules. And baby, it ain't gonna happen. Now let's change that. It's not happening. And some of you think it's God's fault. Some of you are looking and going, well, I think, you know, it's this, it's that. Listen, the problem is this: you have got to learn the ways of the kingdom. If you're going to be a king, if you're going to be a queen, you got to learn the ways of the kingdom that has given you that crown. Are you guys tracking with me today? We've got to get this, because until you do, God's word will be of no effect in your life. And I don't want to see that. I shudder to think about what my life would have been like had I not had moments where God's word has come alive in my life. I shudder to think about those moments. And the problem that I see with many of us is we don't understand how powerful it is to be under a king, because we live in a democracy. Amen. We got a president, we got Congress, we got, you know, a Senate, and all those things are good. Being under a king is different. The one thing I want to leave you with today before we go is this: you've got to understand that in a kingdom, when the king speaks, it is so. It is so. When the king says something, when he decrees a thing, it is so. Why is that so important? It's so important because I believe so many of us devalue God's word that you don't even read it during the week. We have no value on God's word, so we never listen to it. We never read it. We never take the time to get it on the inside of us. And that just points to something to me. You don't understand how important it is in a kingdom to have a king's word. Because if you did, you would be pursuing every day a word from that king. Because what you need to change your life is simply a word. That's it. That's why churches all over the world on this Sunday right now are gathering together around what? Around his word. Because it's a word that can set you free. It's a word that could break off that suicide thing floating around in your head. It's a word that could change your state of depression. It's a word that could change your marriage, save your kids. It's one word that could be that idea that gives you $1 million. Come on, somebody. It's that one word. But see, we've got Christians that have been lulled to sleep, and we don't value the word. We don't put a premium on God's word. And that's because we don't understand kingdoms. And we don't understand that the most valuable thing a king has is his word. I've told you many times here, I want to read this story to you about Nehemiah. I've said this to you here before, but it bears repeating. Nehemiah chapter 2:1-4 tells the story of King Artaxerxes and Nehemiah. It says this, in the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when wine was brought for him, I took the wine and I gave it to the king. I had not been sad in his presence before. So the king asked me, why does your face look so sad when you are not ill? This can be nothing but sadness of heart. And I was very much afraid, but I said to the king, may the king live forever. Why should my face not look sad when the city where my ancestors are buried lives in ruins and its gates have been destroyed by fire? And here it is, verse 4. And the king said to me, what is it you want? Now, I've used this story before to illustrate what I'm talking about as we've got to go after God's word. Because when you understand this story, you see Nehemiah was nothing but a cupbearer in the courts of the king. And what was the cupbearer? Well, he was the guy that brought out that big goblet, you know. And when the king was thirsty, he was in charge of getting that cup to the king. That was his whole job. He stood there in the courts of the king day after day after day. And I'm sure as he sat in the royal courts there, and when the king was thirsty, he handed him the cup. He let him drink, took the cup back, went, cleaned it day after day after day. He sat there and he stood in that presence. And day after day, see, when you understand a kingdom, what would happen in the courts of the king is if there were any disputes, if there were anything people needed, they didn't go see a judge. They went to see the king. And so when they had need, when there were issues, and the Bible is clear about stories like in the courts of King Solomon, where there were two women that were fighting over a child. They didn't go to the cops. They didn't go to a judge. They didn't take them to Judge Judy. No, they took them to the king. And they stood before the king. And in the presence of the king, they got their needs met. They got their disputes settled. They got their judgments decreed and passed. And so the king's cupbearer is standing there day after day, and he's seeing people come in. What can I do for you? Well, we need this, this, this. Here you go. The king would issue a decree, and whatever he decreed would be done to the people. But something happened on this day. Something amazing happened to the cupbearer in the king's presence. The king turned to him, and he said, what do you need? What do you need today? What is it that you're going through? I notice you're sad, the Bible says. I notice you're not smiling. You're not doing good. You're heavy. What can I do for you? And people, what is this a picture of? This is a picture of understanding that you have to go after the word of the king. Too many of you run to other things with your problems. You run into your job to give you escape. We run to entertainment. We run to video games. We run to TV to just give us a little bit of an escape from our problems. When the one that you need to bring your problems to, you need to get in his presence every day. Because you just don't know if this is the day that he looks at you and he says, what can I do for you? What do you need? What do you need? Now, the Bible goes on to say in this story here that Nehemiah begins to share, my heart's heavy because in my hometown, the walls are broken down. In my hometown, they're struggling. They need help. He said, what do you want to do? He goes, I want to go and I want to rebuild the walls. Nehemiah was a cupbearer. He was not a carpenter. He didn't know how to lay cement. Come on, somebody. He didn't know how to do brick and mortar. But he had a need. And the king gave him that need. He said, you know what? Whatever you need, take my word. And he wrote down on a scroll, take my words. And what he wrote in there is, whatever this man needs, give it to him. And Nehemiah left that day with the words of a king. And those words, this cupbearer, this servant in the king's court, went and rebuilt the walls of his hometown with simply a word. Guys, this is a word for you today. When I was 19 years old, that my life changed because I got a word. What is it that you need from God? You're thinking you need to hit the lotto. No, you need a word from God. Some of you are going, but the lotto wouldn't be bad, Pastor. Come on. It wouldn't, but did you know the majority of lotto winners lose it within 3 years? Why? Because they ain't got no word to go with that lotto money. You got a word, everything can change. And we're coming after God too casual. Listen, please, I'm not trying to make anybody feel uncomfortable. When you come to the house of God, you should be writing junk down. You should be jotting notes. God might say something through this little talk I give you every week that could change everything. Whenever I go into the presence of God, whenever I'm listening to somebody teach, I write stuff down, whether it's on my phone, my iPad, or old school pencil and pen. You've got to learn to pull on God's word. Because it's the word of God that's going to get you out of the situation you're in. It's the word of God that's going to put you in the relationship you want. It's the word of God that's going to change the marriage, get your financial situation together, whatever it might be. This depression thing, you could take drugs for that if you want to. You could take pills for that if you want to. But I'm telling you, a word from God can deliver you from that. The only reason I could say this is because I've lived it. I've lived it. I'm continuing to live it. I'm continuing to see those things. And I want to encourage you guys today as kings and queens, understand how the kingdom works. The kingdom runs on Dunkin'. No. We don't even have a Dunkin' Donuts around here. The kingdom runs on God's word. Amen? Amen. It runs on his word. So any new thing you're beginning, if you have a word from God, it assures the success of it. Amen? You better get a word from God if you want to get married. Come on, somebody. If you married somebody without a word, I feel sorry for you. I really do. If you start college and you pay that $30,000 a year tuition and you don't have a word on that career that you chose, I feel sorry for you. But what I'm telling you is this, no matter what you're dealing with in your life, no matter what you're going through, no matter what you're facing, if you can just get a word for what you're dealing with, everything can change. It's the power of a king's decree. What is it you're wanting? What is it you're believing for? You believing for a house? Believing for a career change? Restoration in your marriage? Deliverance? Healing? All you need is a word. And some of you might say, well, Pastor, how do I get that word? You get it the same way that we all get it. You open that Bible, click on that Bible app, and every day you read some scripture. Well, how do I know if it's for me? Oh, you'll know. You will know. That thing will jump off of that phone. It'll come out of that book. You won't be able to forget it. Sometimes I read the Bible, and people ask me all the time, do you read a lot of scripture? I don't get to sometimes. Sometimes I can only get one chapter a week. Because every time I crack open the Bible, that chapter just jumps out at me. I can't get past it. I read the same chapter every day sometimes because it just speaks to me. It just speaks to me. Every time I go to read, I can't get past it. It's jumping out at me right here. What? This thing is here. Yeah, okay. Okay, God, I'm hearing what you're saying. And I just got to sit there and think on it, meditate on it, speak on it. This is my word right now. This is what I need right now. Amen. Are you guys with me? You've got to pursue his word. How many of y'all got YouTube? There's a lot of good preaching on YouTube. You need to get on there and listen to some sermons. You need to get in there and get some word in you. Be encouraged. Do you know you can put a topic up on YouTube and get some good messages on some things you might be dealing with? Depression. Come on, anything. Use that stuff. Use those tools. Get on there. Get the podcast. You know, go back and listen to some messages we talked about 3 months ago. Some of y'all forgot that word that nothing's impossible from the beginning of the year. Some of y'all need to go back and listen to that. Because this thing you're dealing with right now, it's not impossible to get through. This thing you're needing in your life, it's not impossible. God could change your situation when you understand where your help comes from. When you understand how the kingdom works, the way the kingdom works is on God's word. You gotta get his word. You can't just be, you know, life is not a roll of the dice. Let's get out of that. Life is by design. God created you. He loves you. He has something for you. And all you've got to do is discover what that is. But you ain't going to discover it anywhere else apart from his word. My desire today as I leave you is to just whet your appetite for what it is you really need. Because some of us, we're so focused on things that we think we need when the thing you really only need is a word from God. And that word might just be, nothing's impossible. That word just might be, I'm going to make it. That word just might be, if God is for me, who can be against me? Amen? I don't know what your situation is right now, but God's got a word.
Hey everybody, Pastor Sergio here, and we just want to thank you for tuning in to our podcast.
Elevate Life Church.